The Big Apple, 2 a.m. A fine mist. Just like on the night that you met Matthias again, is starting to settle on the city. The winds have again stopped tearing at the constructions, the concrete and steel buildings that occupy Manhattan. Your friend, Matthias, an old friend, a friend from lives past, a friend that you've seen before your eyes die, though he looked different then, is now sprawled and mangled in an alleyway where traffic and people go by outside, seemingly not caring about your particular predicament. And here you are, the two of you, Thea and Sin, supposedly old siblings, and this is starting to somehow feel more and more true the deeper you delve into your pasts and the things that resurface as you do so. The alley is filled with cats, meowing, moaning, crying with you. Thea, feeling guilt-ridden over what she drew Matthias into. Sin, feeling angry and frustrated, incapable of dealing with the threat that is his father, the thing that seems to do whatever it likes with the small quarrels that you are. You have been offered a way by a Leslie Mulder, a way that you think will work, a way to catch him. Not necessarily kill him, you don't know if that's possible, but to catch him. Thea doesn't believe in it. She doesn't believe in Leslie at all, but hopes for a more peaceful solution to all this. You both have vague memories of other things, of other people that have been part of your previous lives. And as you stand here, over the pieced together remains of Matthias, you both remember his true name as well, Talakas. And you remember running with him too through the wilds. What will you do now? And how will you say farewell to him for this time?
I don't do anything. We have a job to do. I immediately get out of there. After all, there'll probably be police by in a minute, police with questions, and we don't have time for that. So I just nod my head and glare at Thea and storm out of the alleyway back to the car without a word.
I will put my hand over his face and close his eyes, and I'll kiss his forehead, and I will say, thank you for this time. We will meet again in the next one, although I hope under better circumstances.
And smears of blood go across his face where you touch, where your bloodied hands touch. But it creates for a peaceful, calming picture. You see in the corner of your eyes small sprouts slowly growing out of a nearby garbage dumpster. In red and green, they go up with tiny leaves. But as you look towards them, they're no longer there. Sin, as you come back to the car, you find that the The cats in the alley are slowly following you, looking at you expectantly.
I give them a glare. I'm not in the mood for looking after other animals. Animals that aren't me. Or my pack, I suppose. I don't know. I just get back in the car, open the car door, and leave it hanging open, waiting impatiently for Feyre. After all, it's her game now. Her bloody plan. I'm going to sit here and wait for her to tell me what we do next.
We need to find Mother. Right? I mean, whatever happens here, that woman, she wanted Mother's blood, and if there's any way to stop Father, it's going to be if we do it together. We're a family, after all. She was there before, wasn't she?
Yeah, sure. Well, how do we do that, then?
What do we know about Mother? There was something that was shared, wasn't there, about her?
Matthias told you when he was alive that you needed to find the woman with the green eyes. You saw her also like that in the vision. She was a woman with green eyes, and you remember those eyes fondly. The grey man mentioned her name, Amera, and as you did, and as he did, it was almost like you felt something sprouting at the back of your mind, something painful, like a plant trying to make its way out of your skull and connecting you to something that you had forgotten. It's still vaguely there, that feeling. And you also, Thea, feel that something is kind of wriggling loose in your head. Something that Leslie started to poke at, and it's now like there's a space in there with things that you might be able to remember if you tried. You're both sitting in the car, and it's, well, Sin was busy. Hands cramping at the wheel. The cats were slowly populating it, and as you, Thea, sitting in as well, the cats are all over the back seat and in the different places. They seem a bit confused and not sure what they're doing there, but they're following.
Why don't you ask your friends where she is?
Well, can I do that? Would I have any idea of how to do something like that?
You could plainly ask, I suppose. They are there, and one of them is on your lap. It's a cat that you actually recognize. It's Lucky. You didn't realize that she was sneaking in amidst the rest of them.
I'll stroke Lucky's fur and look into their eyes, and I'll ask them plainly then. I want to find Mother. Can you help me find Mother, the woman with the green eyes?
And Lucky looks up at you, and she meows as if she wants to show you something. She's old and skinny, and some tufts of fur are missing. And her eyes gently turn green. And Sin, what are you doing at this point? Have you been driving, or are you sitting still in the car?
I'm sitting still. I'm not driving anywhere until I'm told to. Although, actually, thinking on it, I do start to move the car a little away, because, again, I don't want the police to find us here when they come looking for our friend's body.
You start rolling down the street. You're a bit outside of the city now. Leslie's apartment took you to somewhere north of the main hub. And you start to feel, both of you, a taste of iron in your mouth. It feels a bit like you're about to lose your balance, even though you're sitting down, and the world around you start to slowly grow dark, like a cold grip that clenches around your heart. Do you try and do something before you are taken away into something else?
No, I don't think I have time. I'm not really very with it at the moment. My stability is very low, so I just take this experience as it comes.
I do embrace it. I look forward to seeing what it has to show me.
When your eyesight returns, you are someplace else. You are high up, in some luxury apartment, with a panorama view of Central Park. You sit at a dinner table. You are paralyzed with fear, and you can't breathe. You sense his presence. Your two children, Martin and Ivy, are eating their food and looking at their phones, unaware of the threat. But your husband, Dwayne, who sits opposite you, gives you a worried look. Is everything alright? His voice is slow, drawn out. Everything moves in slow motion. A shadow falls over the table. Red leaves slowly swirl through the air in a hypnotic dance. You try to stand up. You try to scream to Dwayne and Ivy and Thomas to run. You see how Ivy looks up, sees one of the leaves and smiles in wonder. And then there's a sound of flesh being ripped, a spine being pulled out, and Dwayne's body dangles like a puppet in Arthur's grip. Now the screams start, and his shadow swallows up everything. And you're back in the car, and he is with her. You must both roll to keep it together.
7.
That is a 6.
You come back to the car going at full speed, and you are coming up to a traffic light. I'd like you to roll for reflexes, Sin.
10.
What do you try and do as you come here in full speed towards another car?
Try and swerve out of the way.
And you do. You clip the car. You swerve over to the left lane of the Henry Hudson Bridge, going in full speed onto the overlooked meadow. Your cars are flinging themselves around you, and you try to keep control of it. Whereas, Thea, you are almost unable to tear yourself from the vision. You are currently watching as the shadow of Arthur is ripping bodies apart over and over again. And I'd like you to lower your stability with -2 and tell me what this does to you.
Gets me too unhinged. I am really very close to losing it all. All of this has become unreal, to say the least, and the very tenuous grip I had on reality before, I feel like I'm just slipping. I'm so close to all of this stopping to make any kind of sense. I try to hold on to whatever little shred of reality that I can still find. I think of the cats. I think of Lucky, and I try to ground myself in them and in the cats. They are here. I am here. I can get through this.
You feel her fur in your hand. You feel that you are... You have to force yourself not to squeeze that old, poor cat too hard. You can hear her worriedly meowing. She's your way of remaining here, of staying here. You are finally getting a hold of your grip, finally trying to get back here. And Sin, you are driving now. There's no going back. You are more than halfway across the bridge, trying to slip here in between the cars that thankfully don't come too often now. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, you realize from the vision that you were somewhere high up, somewhere overlooking Central Park. It must be one of the southern skyscrapers, you realize, the way it looked from there. What do you try and do, Sin?
Try and just get off the main road and onto a quieter road and... Try and get off the main road. Try and get onto a quieter road and just find myself again. My head is spinning and I'm full of anger and I just want this all sorted now. And I just say to Feyre, like, well, where are we going? Where are we going?
We need to find her. We can get to her apartment. We saw it, I think. Arthur, he's been there, hasn't he? We saw the view. We can find that house. We let the cats lead us there. It'll all make sense, I promise.
I just nod and attempt to follow my memory and what the cats are giving us, whatever that is, and try and find this high place, this flat.
And you're both on a cocktail of drugs and lack of sleep. The only thing you have got going for you is that you at least had a semi-decent meal in the establishment where you met the Grey Man, the Elysian Fields. And as you get off the wrong lane, you are starting to be able to calm down a bit again. Adrenaline settles and you realize, both of you, how tired and aching your bodies are. And you start coming in towards Central Park. And you start driving next to it and try and look up. Try and understand where it could have been. Trying to analyze what you saw. But overpowered by that, it's almost like you can sense her now. It's almost like you can smell her being near. The scent of a mother's embrace, somewhere soothing. And so you pull up on West 59th Street and you see it, you think. It's a tall skyscraper standing out with a beautiful old roof, and somewhere up there, yes, that's where she must be.
I slow the car down. I grip my teeth. I stop on the curb and sort of stumble out of the car. My head is still swimming. Everything now just feels like a dream or a nightmare, I suppose. Here, I can smell her. Go on then, get out of the car. You're leading the way.
And as you say that, all the cats do as you say. They get out of the car and then they start all going in different directions. And you, Thea, you hold the little old body of Lucky in your hands, and she's upset, but all right.
Yes. I will follow them and make our way to the building.
As you stand outside, you see that there's a fancy reception inside with an old oak, probably, desk, and someone looking very serious about their job in there. Do you realize it's going to be a bit tricky to convince them why two people, one of them being half blood smeared and the other one looking ragged and stinking of, well, his own urine, should have anything to do there. I would like you to roll for your sixth sense at the start of this session, Thea, and tell me also if you had anything left from the previous session.
I had one remaining from the previous one, and I end up rolling very, very good here. That is a 20. So that is 3 options that can be utilized.
Right. Very good. I will then let you keep those 3, and with the final one from the previous session, you can use it in a way that you feel would fit with the advantage.
I will try to figure out how we can get into our mother's apartment. Like, what is it that's going to be required for us to do so? We're not going to be able to make ourselves presentable, and even if we do, we know that something pretty bad has happened up there. What can we do here to make our way in?
You look for a second to your right, where Sin stands, and you look there and you see your brother. You see your brother, your infinitely capable brother, whose sharp fingers could climb up anything in seconds, just takes leaps, as he always were able to find his way into the smallest crevices of places, like a bark tree or a mountain or anything, and you can just, in your mind's eye, envision him using these sharp pointy fingers that you just saw them recently in the Elysian Fields. He pointed them at you. We could just leap up the whole place and you would, holding on to his back.
Sin, I don't know if you will believe this, but you saw what happened to your fingers in the Elysian Fields, right? You are capable of things that you dare not believe, I think. I'm going to ask you to take me up the building, to climb up the facade. And I know that doesn't make any sense at all, but trust me when I say that I believe that you can do that.
Give her a bit of a glare. I snort a little as I turn round to exit the building, saying, "Funny, you're the fucking leader now, and yet you still actually need me to do anything. It's funny, isn't it?"
We're a family. We have to work together for any of this to work.
More like I lead, as I always do, always have, and you follow. Whatever. Come on. And I go outside. I glare at the building. Normally, she's right. This would be insane. But nothing's insane anymore. I don't know what I am anymore. A monster. Whatever. That suits me just fine. I'll begin climbing the building, extending claws to get up there. I will, of course, wait a few seconds for her to cling to my back, like the weakling she is.
Yeah, I will do just that.
Yeah, and as you feel Thea on your back, she is so very light, so very light. And you go over to the wall, and you start just feeling it, feeling your fingers across it like there were points. And you can just feel the small spaces where you can just hold onto and lock them in place as you let your other hand start finding the next one and the next one. And Thea, someone stops to look, and you feel that sensation that you also felt, the bar, that you're suddenly turning into something more shadow-like, and you are hiding your existence as the both of you are starting to make your way up the side of this building. I will have you to roll for act under pressure to do this against your better instincts, Sin. And you can help, if you like, Thea, because you're also using something of your own.
Well, I'm at 13 currently.
I get 11, so that should allow me to raise your value by 1.
Which means we get to 14, yes. And it's a bit of a rush. You start to feel the air flowing more and more as you're quickening your pace. getting higher up and higher up, and suddenly one of your fingers slip. And as you stop for a second to look at it, you're many, many floors above the ground, probably around 50. Everything below is so tiny. You see your hand, how one of your fingers is starting to regress. It's no longer pointy. It's normal. You have a limited time to do this.
Fine, I hurry up. Maybe try and just get into a window nearby quickly.
You scramble, and no windows are open at this point. You start to see the top and the penthouse, and there, the windows are cast wide open. And one after another, you start to feel your fingers turning back to normal, and at the end, you're starting to definitely feel your muscles ache too. So light she was, but now you notice this, Thea, and you have to help out too, pushing you up beside a window next on to a ledge. And as you stumble in through the window of the penthouse apartment, you're both exhausted, just falling on your backs for a bit, panting.
Yeah, I kind of throw myself in at the last moment and just fall to the ground like, damn it, need to be fitter, let myself go, shit.
I told you could do it. I'm so proud of you, brother.
It's almost unbelievable that you made it, that you did this. And you're both just for a bit staring out the panoramic view. The whole wall here is one huge window. A lot of it is covered in mist. You see trees poking up at Central Park out of it, and of course the buildings around. And you hear the wind, and you hear lots of small chirping noises. And they're coming from here, from inside. You see the huge living room that you've ended up in is lined with bird cages and small birds of different colors and origins that you have no idea where they're from. One entire wall is a tremendous aquarium where fish that, if you saw them, if you were out swimming, would probably panic, are swimming about. Large ones and smaller schools of colorful fish. Also of likes that you haven't seen before. It's like you ended up in a half zoo. There's a huge TV on one side of the living room and several finely shaped furniture. There's no sign of life in here except the plants and the birds and, of course, the fish.
Mom? I say, not really knowing what to expect, but I try it.
There's no sound. No sound except that. It's eerie. It's noisy, but eerie. Like there is too much presence here for what you see. And as you slowly start to get up, you just realize that this room leads into other rooms, and what you're seeing currently is not part of the vision that you experienced. Well, clearly this place is something else, a place where no expenses have been spared. As you start making your way through this room on shaky legs from the exhaustion, you pass by the exotic birds and the colorful fish. You see doors leading off to other rooms and a corridor that probably leads to the elevator that most likely leads straight up here. There are oil paintings made by contemporary artists. One of them has the name Elaine under it. And there are large numbers of statues standing on pedestals throughout the place. Classical artworks representing beautiful men and women, some naked, others garbed in long sweeping robes, and some are armed with bows or swords, and others carry books or flowers. A There are also a lot of books here. You spot one of the rooms that seem lined with them, like a small library about, well, you would guess if you had a closer look. Well, you can't really see what they're about from here. And then you see a door standing open, and you just know that it's the door into the kitchen area and where they were sat down to eat. What do you do?
That is where we must go.
I run forwards, eager to get to this location, eager to find the owner of this place. I kind of want to take what they have. I should have all this. It should be me who lives here, not them.
It should be. And you find the owner of this place. The body of a grown man. And next to him, all around the room, actually, the remains of two children that have been mercilessly ripped apart. Blood has spattered over the walls, and it would take time to assemble all the pieces. As you rush into this room, I'd like you to roll for keep it together to avoid immediately leaving the room, nauseated, or resist taking any kind of substance.
11.
I get 15.
As you see this, what keeps you calm and here?
The knowledge that they aren't really dead. No one's really dead. It's all just a cycle, and it will be back. And the next life will be better. For all of them, for all of us. And our mother is not one of the ones dead, I don't think. So that means that she's possibly still alive. So I focus on that. Focus on finding her and trying to ignore the horrible scene around us.
And Sin.
I become filled with rage as I lose one more stability. I go over to the body of the man and fling him, well, perhaps not through the air, but I attempt to at least fling him to the side, just growling, "Where is she? She's not here!"
And as you lift up, it's a part of him. It's his face, his head, and his spine, half of it, still attached to it. That's what you lift up. And then throw it across the room, and it hits a painting on the wall, which flies down on the floor and crashes next to a sofa. And from under the sofa runs another cat, a frightened, white, ragdoll cat. And it runs over to you, Thea, as you're standing calmly. It starts running across your legs and meowing in terror.
I get down my knees and I try to calm the cat down. It must be traumatized by what it has seen.
You see that it has a little name tag and it says Mochi on it. It's meowing.
Little Mochi. Where is Mom?
She stops for a second, looks at you very strangely, and then starts going back out into that living room where you came from with all the plants, the fish, and the birds.
I'll follow Mochi then.
And you feel eyes upon you. Could it be all the fish? Could it be the birds? Could it be something else? As you look around, and Mochi takes you to one of the statues, and there, behind it, crouching down, you find her. Her beautiful dark hair falling across her face, her clothes ripped. She's half naked and smeared in blood, and holding both her hands across her chest for protection, and in one of them she's holding a curved mirror shard tight. She's shaking and she's not even looking up at you.
Mom, You're all right. It's me. It's Thea. It's your daughter.
What do you do, Sin?
I stalk behind Thea. After all, I am now unhinged. Every movement I make is with a growl, a snarl. I kind of feel like I just want to rip off all my clothes and just bound after Thea like a hound, but I don't do that just yet. For now, I just sniff the air and see this creature. No, this can't be. Mother, not this weak wretch. Look at her. She looks like she's terrified. No. I'm not happy, but I'll just listen.
You listen, and you listen, and there's something here. I'm sure of it. There's something here. Something's watching. Something's smelling you, too. Something's moving. But as Thea says, Mother, she looks up, and she looks at you with those deep green eyes. And she starts weeping loudly, still huddling there with that mirror shard in her hand. And she just starts crying. And you both feel a sharp, inexplicable pang in your chest when you meet her.
Oh, and I weep as well, and I, if she will allow it, I will try to hug her. And I will tell her that everything's going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. We're going to end this. This isn't going to have to happen again. Together, we can do that.
And she does allow you to hug her. And slowly, slowly, she's dislodging her own arms from her chest and wraps them around you, still holding that broken shard of mirror. You see it sin as you're standing behind her. And They're hugging in a beautiful moment, and you just know that you are, weak as she is, connected to this person in a way that transcends life itself.
Yes, I suppose. Fine. In that case, this is a good opportunity. I gently go over as they're hugging. I just gently say, it's okay, give me the glass shard. Give it to me.
And you can gently dislodge it from her hand. And, whatever you choose to do with it, she has let you have it. And you have a moment, all three of you there, as you just feel like you've been reunited to someone that you should be with always.
Yes. Let's get you cleaned up. I could use some new clothes as well. I think we could all use that. I think it'll make everything feel better.
I'm fine, I say, as I gently start to clean the glass shard. After all, you said there was blood everywhere. Hopefully that's enough blood from Mother. I try and just quickly put it into the kit I was given.
Yeah, and it slips in there nicely. But you do say this, Thea, and as you look into her eyes, she is not there. But you get the feeling that if you just lead her by the hand, she will follow and she will do what you think is best.
And I will do that, and I will lead her to the bathroom, and I'll get us both cleaned up and put on a new pair of clothes and, something that will allow us to not stand out like the sore thumbs we have been standing out as.
Yeah, and it's nice and warm. The water, it just gets everything away. It washes everything away, and you spend a good long moment there, and you wash yourself, and you help wash your mother. And it's a really delicate, beautiful moment. Whereas you sin, though, are either spending the time pacing about or sitting and feeling raw and sore and like a wild animal in a cage up here. What is your perception score?
0.
And how about intuition?
1.
So many animals in this place. So much. So many of them just being caged. It's not right. so much going on in here that shouldn't be. And you have a strange feeling as if some of these animals want you harm. It's really irritating and wrong.
I glare at them all. I try not to let them bother me, though. I need to keep an eye on the windows, the doors. After all, isn't this the fucking plan? We found Mother. She's broken. Ready to go. Just like Mephaeus. But this is her plan. Now we wait here. Wait for him to come. I wonder how we can make him come quicker.
You find a cell phone on one of the tables. Its batteries have gone out. It's not far from where she was hiding.
I pick it up.
Try to start it. Nothing happens. Maybe if you charged it.
I'll go and look for a charger. There must be someone in a nice flat like this.
You go and you find the bedroom. And you find some very nice clothes laid out on a bed, and next to them a few suitcases. It's like they were all planning to leave just before whatever happened. And there are some nice men's clothes there, and you get that feeling again that this should be you having these things. But you find the charger, and as it starts up, it doesn't seem to have a lock, and goes straight in, and there are some messages here, recent ones, from a Milan Benkic between him and what appears to be your mother. It must have been her phone, or Amara's, or whoever this lady is that you suddenly feel so closely connected to.
What do they say?
It seems like she is asking him to help her and what's going on, and he responds in a tone of, "Listen, lady, I don't know who you are. You do whatever you need to do with your life, things will be fine."
Anything of use? This seems useless to me.
Yes, it does seem useless. What does kind of pique your interest is that he doesn't know her, you think, but she suddenly remembers him. And it does kind of ring a bell of whatever has been happening to you and sudden memories coming back.
How many bloody siblings do I have? Fine. I'll go over to where they're washing or cleaning. I don't really care. I just sort of want to barge the door down. But again, that damned feeling of something means I do behave myself. I just slowly open it and I just say, "Faya, tell Mother who is Milano. Or Milana, or whatever this guy's name is."
I look to Mother and I ask, "Is someone's been calling, or you've been calling? Milana? Milano? Something like that?"
And she looks at you with a child's eyes. She is a grown woman, older than you by 20 or 30 years. But she is not there. It's like she has regressed somehow. She looks at you, not knowing anything of what's going on right now.
Do you think we could find them? Could you help lead us to them?
And she just takes your hand, wanting you to lead her, as you have gotten dressed now. You have his full name there, Milan Benkic. Doesn't say very much, but luckily you're in an information age and you can always look for him.
Yeah, we'll do that then. That's a name that will hopefully have some hits, given that it's not your typical American name necessarily.
So, are you going to then, let's say you investigate for a bit. It's starting to hit early morning now. Who would like to take the lead on this investigation?
I will let Thea do so. I have no interest in computers. I barely know how to use them. And right now, I feel if I was to touch a computer, I'd either try and eat it or throw it out a window. So I just give Thea the phone and say, there you go. Find another sibling. Maybe he'll know what to do. A scoff.
Well, the thing about having to constantly be on the lookout for drugs is that you learn how to find it, and the internet is very important in that. Roll a 15, and hopefully that will allow me to find the location of this Milan Benkic.
You find that he is known in the underground scene as the lead singer of Dr. Misanthropia, a stoner metal group of some repute. You can see a few of the other band members' names, and he is quite someone to... for someone of your mother's seeming stature to reach out to, where she has lived here up in her penthouse. So, yeah. You see that they... there are a few people that you can talk to. There are a few forums, and you could probably go to one of your places or clubs and ask about to just get an idea if they're gonna be anywhere soon, what's up with the band Dr. Misanthropia and so on. And from where you are now, I could just say that this takes a few hours, so you're gonna cleaned up. And you might get out of the apartment and maybe exit the normal way now through the elevator.
Yes, that's the hope, that we can do that now, given that we are in the company of a resident of this place, which is, of course, very expensive. And we do at least look mostly presentable, at least the two of us do.
Anything else you would like to do up here before you then take your leave?
No, I think time is short and we need to find out whatever we can find out before we have to meet with Father. He's going to find us eventually.
I simply trash the place. I go into the kitchen, I go into any room I can find, and begin just throwing tables and chairs. This is also aggravating her plan. I find myself tempted several times. I could just dash at Thea right now, cut her arm, it gets me her blood, dash back, and it would be over. It would be over. Instead, we're here looking for some fucking Milano on a computer, and I'm just tearing things apart until finally Thea comes in and I go, have you found him yet?
Yes.
Fine, thank God, fuck.
Calm down.
I can't! I can't! Please, we need to find him now.
It's gonna be all right, I say, and I look well dressed now, and I put on makeup, and it's gonna be all right. Just don't worry. We're gonna get through this. We found Mom. We're almost all of us together now. We just need to figure out how to deal with all this. How to not get killed by Dad again.
I just try and say words, and they just come out as this sort of guttural growl. And I then howl. I howl. And then I just walk my head, and I just say, let's go, just go. I can't hold on much longer, Thea. I can't.
We will hurry.
And as you throw one last plate in frustration, see out of the corner... You see out of the corner of your eye, something is moving out of its way, dodging it, and you hear a squishy, spongy sound, and then, fuck it, you're on your way, and you're on the lift down. And you are able to ask around a bit, Thea. You do a bit of investigating, it takes a few hours. But let's see what questions you would have from what you already know.
Well, I mean, it's really one thing here. We need to find this Milan Benkic, whatever, whoever he is. He's clearly related to all this, and he might have information about how all this makes sense and what we could do to fight Father in a way that isn't going to lead to us repeating the cycle again.
So, out of your two investigate questions that you have, what would you like to ask?
Oh, well, how can I find out more about what I'm investigating? Where is he?
You ask around. It doesn't take too long until you hear that they usually perform at a place called Rue Morgue. It's in the west part of the city. Actually closer to New Jersey. But wouldn't take too long to get there in a sort of run-down area of the city.
That sounds perfect. And knowing that my brother is about to break, and as am I, to be honest, time is of the essence, so I'll just take my little family and I'll direct Sin as best as I can to get us there as quickly as I can, leading Mother by the hand.
Yeah. And after a while, you notice that you don't need to do that. She starts following you out of her own accord now. And you roll up on a rundown street in Sin's car. Sin, you feel your fingers shaking with frustration and exhaustion on the wheel as you stop. And you see a tall, decaying stone house and the little sign hanging on it saying Rue Morgue. It stands far down on an empty street of a, well, less pleasant, less than pleasant neighborhood. You can see people are pouring out of it now in the early morning. Young people in black clothes, probably with a minor pharmacy running through their veins. And you can hear music from in there.
I lead Mother, and I look back to Sin to see if he's also following, and then I'll just take us into this club.
I exit the car. For a moment, my rage is tempered by exhaustion. I just want to sleep. I just want to sleep, eat, and then sleep again, but fine. I follow her. I can follow. I can do that. Follow through this stupid club. The stupid people dancing like idiots. Every single one of them prey. That's right, they're all prey.
You walk past them and they smell strangely, and they have weak smells. And you see different animal faces on them. One actually looks a bit like an antelope, and look at that one, it's like a badger, if anything. And that's definitely a weasel sneaking across. And you get in, and you find your way downstairs, and there's a small stage there, and music is still going, but you can definitely see that it's the end of the night. And there are a few people here still hanging about, some having drinks, some dancing slowly, and a few just passed out on various seats or along the bar. What do you do?
I begin asking around, hey, have you seen Milan? Milan Benkic? I just want to talk to him.
Milan? You talk to a girl who is standing next to the bar. Who the fuck is Milan? I don't know any Milan. Is he in one of the bands?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Misanthropia, was it? Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, he's fuck. Yeah. Who the fuck calls him Milan? Hey, like, talk to that guy over there. It's, the Duke. I think he's in the band.
Oh, thank you. And I move towards this Duke, then.
You see a pale youth of a ghost-like thinness, wearing a Joy Division t-shirt and a pair of impossibly tight black leather pants, and he's sitting by himself, kind of staring into nothing, sipping coffee, though you doubt that's the only ingredient. And it smells a bit of whiskey just around him. And he looks up as you're coming and he says, the fuck are you? What are you doing here? Fucking suit. And you realize that you're quite nicely dressed for a place like this.
Yes. We're looking for Milan. We need to
Milan?
Talk to him. Yeah.
What the fuck you want with Milan? He stands up and his coffee is bowled over.
He's a friend of the family, you can say. We need to talk to him.
What do you want with him?
Oh, we think he can help us. The family, we've been in some trouble lately, but he helped us before, I think. And I think he can help us again.
He looks you over, you and Sin and your mother, and he grins, and you're like, yeah, you look like a real fucked up family, but you... Okay, what the fuck? Okay, just wait here, okay? Just wait for a bit. And he starts skulking off. And, he's away for a little bit. What do you do? You are free to wander around and engage with the setting, maybe get a drink, do whatever you want.
I simply stand there staring after this man, my fingers, those claws flexing back and forth, wondering if I could have just torn out his throat. How far would it I have to leap? But I won't. Not yet.
And your phone rings, and it's Goya.
Yeah?
Hey man. How you been?
Hungry. How have you been?
Yeah. Listen, I got some dirt on Risher, the new leader. Just thought I'd call you first, man, because you know we're close and stuff, and you'd want to know. They're gonna be in a place, you know. Gonna have a small meetup. Get in there easily, like you could do some damage, man. I could help you out, man.
When would that be?
It's like this afternoon.
How do you feel about this, your old life kind of tugging at the seams of what seems like something completely different? Maybe we could roll for jealousy for this and see how you react when you hear about Risha.
4.
Well, tell me then how you are torn now between these two worlds.
I am torn between a complete disinterest in these events. I don't care about that fucker anymore. I don't even care about the gang anymore. I care about bigger things, being a king of bigger things. And at the same time, wanting to murder someone. And Risha, I could murder him now. Sure, yeah, murder him now. Sounds like a great idea while my sister talks to whoever the fuck this is. So I simply say, tell me where to be, I'll be there in a minute.
Look, it's like, yeah, it's early morning, right? So I'm just saying it's this afternoon, maybe around 3 p.m. That we're gonna move around in the Bronx. There's an old burnout building, you know, where we used to... Yeah, do some of the group meetings they're gonna do.
Be there! Get everyone you can. Risha goes down tonight.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He hangs up. And then he comes back into the room. Come on, this way.
Oh, thank you. And, I nod to my mother and Sin to follow.
I shake my head. I say, you've got this, leader. You've got it. I have my phone on me. You can call me when you've got an actual plan. And I turn and just begin walking away. At least I try and just walk away, although it probably appears to anyone watching that I kind of stalk away.
What do you do, Thea? This might be a moment that's important for your family.
I really think we should stay together. I don't think we should separate. He could just pick us off one by one. We need to do this together as a family, remember?
I grunt and I say, it's going to be your fault if the first thing I do when we meet this man is murder him.
And you are being led down to the basement and behind a tiny stage, moving past what appears to be storerooms and dressing rooms, and you finally arrive in a small, feebly lit dressing room. Slow music is playing from in there. And as you open the door, you face the back of a thin, black-garbed man with a shaved and tattooed head, watching them through a tall dressing mirror. And as you look into the mirror, you see someone in between you raising a gun towards this person's head.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the 2022 Cultmas scenario, Together Unto Death, for Cult of Indie Lost. Cult of Indie Lost is published by our friends at Helmgast, who have also kindly sponsored the series. The music was made by Atrium Carceri, featuring a number of collaborations with other artists, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient. We'd like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Bob Lange, Julian, Cameron, Xavier, and Anton for their generous support. And we'd of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Indie Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as the champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, death is only the beginning.